Whole sports all plays. Whole sports all plays. Whole sports all plays. 365, we're making a place. We're talking the game, get you to the days. We're high in the court, the dime in the lane. Variety topics, living the same. All presentation, sports information. In the airways, taking the nation. Whole sport all plays, they work in your faces. Grace at the field, so tie up the laces. Whole sports all plays.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk, November 2nd, 2022, Wednesday night. Got a lot going on tonight. World Series baseball game, some NBA action, NFL trade deadline just ended. So we got all kinds of stuff going on in the sports world. Joined by the sports judge, Jonathan Mathis, like always. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Gonzo? How is everything in your neck of the woods? How's everything in Indianapolis? Is it chilly out there? Because it's been a little cold for us here in Southern California, and I actually like it for a change.
We actually have a pretty good weather right now. It got up to like 77 today, and that don't happen usually in November here.
So yeah, that's I was about to say, isn't that unusual? Yeah. For in the month of November for you guys over there.
Now it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's like 45, 50 degrees out.
That's crazy.
But it was up to 77 earlier today. Oh, 45, 50 ain't nothing, dude. It'll get below zero here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know it will get below zero. I don't even know what below 50 feels like, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you how that feels. You know, living here in Southern California, I couldn't. But man, I'm ready to get this show.
I've opened up my front door before, and there'd be a foot of snow outside. You got to shovel your way to get anywhere.
See, I do want to experience snow on my front porch, but I don't want it every day. I just want it for one day, just to experience snow.
We don't get it every day, but we get it. What do you want to talk about first tonight? You want to jump in the NFL trade deadline?
There is so much to unpack. You know, we had the NFL trades. We have the NBA in full action. We got the World Series.
Who do you think won the NFL trade deadline?
You know, that's interesting. Because, look, I feel like the Eagles won. I feel like the Eagles, you know, put their, you know, they gave up some young assets. I mean, not assets, but I'm tired, man. Please bear with me tonight. They gave up some future picks, right, to get better now because they want to win now, right? The Eagles have made it real clear that they're in to win now. So I think they made some big moves. I think the Vikings came away with a good tight end that can help complement Kirk Cousins' game. I think they are winners as well. And then the biggest surprise to me would be seeing Calvin Ridley getting traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a guy who was suspended for betting on his own team, you know. So it was a surprise to see him get moved before the trade deadline. So, yeah, those are my thoughts about the trade deadline. I know I could go more into detail about it, but, I mean, it's just a lot to really get into when you talk trade deadline because so much happened.
Yeah, it was a bit busiest trade deadline in the NFL.
In recent memory.
Oh, in long time. There was like 10 deals done yesterday right before the deadline.
Yeah,
I think Minnesota won the deadline by getting Hawkinson, getting that tight end, especially after Irv Smith going down. And then when Irv Smith gets healthy, to have both them guys and with Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, the other weapons they have, for them to add another weapon, I think I put them right up there. And I put Miami up there because getting Bradley Chubb, strengthening up a weakness in their defense. And Miami's showing everybody that they believe too is the – Two is their guy, and they went all in to try to improve that defense, make a run. I don't think they're going to have enough to get out of the AFC. But yeah, there was a lot of good moves. But yeah, I like the Minnesota move the best.
Yeah, the Vikings, they cleaned up. They cleaned up big time. And they've gotten a lot better. Now they can be a more interesting team. I think this is a team that can make a run now with what they have. You have one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in Justin Jefferson. You still have Adam Thielen, who has seen a drop-off in production this season. His numbers, you know, are not very convincing, but he's still there. He's still another option on your team. But I think this helps Kirk Cousins tremendously by getting that tight end, because he's always thrived with a decent tight end.
Yep. No, and Dustin, I love the Ridley trade as well, because it looks like he'll get reinstated after this season. If he does, like you said, that gives Jacksonville a pretty decent looking wide receiver room with Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, and then you add Calvin Ridley in there. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good receiving core to give.
Yeah. That's deep. That's a bottomless receiving court, right? Have a lot of options. That gives what's the kid's name? Trevor Lawrence, a lot of options, you know. What's up, Glenn? Thanks for joining us tonight. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. We really appreciate you. How are you feeling? Hope all is well. I'm a little tired tonight, as you can tell, probably.
Yeah, Glenn, I saw Jeff Jarrett was on AEW. How you doing, Glenn? I know they're 5-0 with Tua. All I said was it just proved more that Miami thinks Tua is their guy.
Yeah.
Hawkinson will gain yards over the middle. That'll force teams to put a safety on him and take double cover. Hawkinson to me is going to be real big for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Glenn said the Fever found a new head coach. I'll be looking into that because I'll be at the Fever games this season when they get started back up. But what do you think about this Brooklyn Nets situation? They fire Steve Nash or mutually part ways. I've heard it's more that Steve Nash just said, fuck it, I've had enough of this, and wanted out, which I don't blame the dude. And then now you got the Kyrie Irving situation going on. Now you're talking about hiring a coach that just got suspended. So, Duke ain't going to be suspended for a month by the Celtics and didn't get a new coaching job.
Right.
Which I don't like. I thought a year suspension was a little too much anyway. But yeah, man, it's the Nets are interesting this season so far.
Yeah, they're interesting, and they're in the news for all the wrong reasons, right? They're supposed to be a team that, you know, would come into the season seeking redemption. Well, it's been the other way around, right? This team doesn't look like a team that can contend for a title. They look like an utter laughingstock right about now. You know, people are mocking them. They're getting, you know, you see memes posted to the internet making fun of this team. And this team is a real embarrassment. You know, it is what it is with this organization. They were an atrocity last season. They got swept in the first round by the Boston Celtics. And the guy who was coaching that team was Ime Udoka. And now Ime Udoka is going to be the head coach, the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. It's crazy to me. But I think Steve Nash grew frustrated with his situation there. I think both parties here came to an agreement. And, you know, Steve Nash just said, you know what? I'm done. We could just mutually part ways. And the Nets agreed to it. The Nets are willing to move on. You know, now they're going to hire Udoka as their next head coach, a guy who got suspended by his former team, the Boston Celtics, because we all know what happened there, right? You know, he had a consensual affair with a staffer in the organization, which is what led to the harsh punishment that was handed to him. It's a crazy, crazy situation. And Steve Nash, if you want to say he was fired, you can say he was fired. He was handed a nice pink slip and he was shown the door. And Udoka was basically shown the door from what I'm hearing as well in Boston. Boston is happy to see him go. You know, they're basically telling him bye-bye. See you later. Thank you. Thank you for getting us to the NBA Finals, but we don't need you anymore. Your services are no longer needed. So you can, you know, take your knowledge and your philosophy someplace else. And that would be the Brooklyn Nets. But now you're going to have to face this guy. And it would be hilarious to me if Brooklyn beats the Celtics this time around. That would have me cracking up if it happens that way.
Well, and honestly, and Dustin said Udoka was one of the favorites to get the job 2 years ago, so no surprise. No, I'm not surprised. Honestly, Dustin, I think that this has kind of been the Nets' plan ever since Udoka got suspended. I think once he got suspended by the Celtics, I think they've been inquiring with the Celtics to see, hey, what we got to do to get Udoka from you. I think this has been something that's been building up. I don't think this was just, oh, we're getting rid of Nash, let's go check on. I think they've been checking on Udoka for a while now, ever since that suspension came up, and they're thinking, hey, Boston might not want him back. Hey, we might be able to get him. So yeah, I think that the Udoka thing started with Brooklyn. The wheels on that started as soon as he got suspended. I think as soon as he got suspended, Brooklyn was like, hey, can we get this guy from the Celtics? And they were able to. And
the Nets are a basketball calamity. The Nets are a basketball catastrophe. It is a mess in Brooklyn. It is a mess. It is ugly. And now Udoka is walking into a dumpster fire. And he's going to have to reshape the culture there. And he's going to have to put his foot down.
Well, I was going to say, I think he will.
And I set expectations the first day.
He has a backbone where I didn't think Nash didn't have that backbone to stand up to them guys. Udoka will stand up to them guys. So
yes, Nash was getting pushed around by those guys. Nash was handpicked, by the way, by Kevin Durant. And Kyrie Irving. He was handpicked.
They said they didn't even need a coach.
He was they did. And he
took his right there. Once they said that and he didn't do nothing about it, then you just lost the respect of your whole team.
But tell me this, Gonzo. Why was Nash even qualified for the job? Why did he qualify for the job? Why did he get the job in the first place? He was not deserving of the job. And that is no disrespect to Steve Nash, because I freaking love the man. You know, he was a damn good point guard when he played. You know, he was an exciting player to watch. He made everyone around him better. You know, he was a true floor general, but he couldn't translate that to the sideline as a head coach. You know, just because you were a good NBA player doesn't mean you have the qualifications and the credentials to be a good basketball coach. And it showed. It showed. He was basically a puppet who was just on the sideline. You know, he was just there, really.
Yeah, but you also have to look at everything that happened while he was there. He's dealing with Kyrie, missing all the home games.
Right.
You got to remember, 2 years ago, They were a big toe away from advancing in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? They had the team playing well, but they just couldn't. This last year was a disaster. And then so far this season has been a disaster.
Yeah, you know, and already to start the season, the Nets have devolved into chaos in a matter of days, really. It seems like it hasn't gotten any better. You would think that coming into a new season, things would be more positive. There would be more of a positive vibe around the franchise. Turns out that's not the case because there's still layers of dysfunction that has derailed this franchise, and it continues to do damage to this franchise, which is not good, you know, for a Brooklyn Nets team that should be a lot better than what their record indicates. And it just doesn't look good for Brooklyn. I mean, you have three superstar players on one team, but you have one player who's lazy, you have another one that pouts, and you have one that's not fully committed. You know, so, I mean, what more can I really say about the team? They're dysfunctional. You know, you have a player by the name of Kyrie Irving who can't make up his freaking mind if he wants to play basketball or not. And, you know, sometimes he's not fully committed. Now, when he's laser focused and when he's on his game, he's damn good. He's the best, arguably the best guard in the league. You know, we can honestly say that about Kyrie Irving. When he actually wants to play a damn basketball game and contribute, you know, but that was the problem last season. You couldn't really fully evaluate the team because they weren't together on the basketball court. And Kevin Durant, man, he's widely regarded as the world's best player. You know, if people don't feel that way about LeBron, they feel that way about KD. But KD pouts and whines, and when things don't go his way and when the going gets tough, he wants out. You heard about him getting traded. I thought that was the big news the other day, that they was going to just trade him. Then I found out Steve Nash got fired. You know, and then Ben Simmons, we talk about how mentally and physically weak he is. And part of that's because the man can't shoot. He lacks confidence in his shot. He cowers, you know, to the pressure and to the big moments. And you know, he can't be productive. Yes, he's a great playmaker. Yes, he's a great passer. Yes, he's a good defender. But in this NBA, you have to be a pretty good damn shooter too. But well, his problem is he doesn't want to be a good shooter because he's stubborn and he wants to rest on his laurels. And I've said this.
No, wait a minute. Whoa. He could be.
And I'll continue.
He could be a good. He could be a good player in this league.
Ben Simmons is not that guy.
Here's the thing. He could be a good player in this league without being a shooter. There's players in this league that aren't shooters that could be a good player. His problem right now is he isn't being the playmaker in scoring because he gets the ball and he's afraid to take it to the rim because he's afraid to go to the foul line. I think that's his biggest problem is he won't attack the rim like he used to
because he can't shoot.
He used to be one of the best finishers around the rim in the league, and he's not doing that no more because it's not about because he can't shoot. He's afraid to go to the free throw line because he sucks at free throws. He don't have to be a great shooter from the field.
He can't shoot.
But the thing is, Draymond Green can't shoot. No, nobody bitches about that all the time. But we do on Ben Simmons.
I do. I call him out for not being able to shoot.
There's people that say that Draymond could be a Hall of Famer because of his accomplishments. But he's not a shooter. But when Ben Simmons can't shoot, we bury him. Ben Simmons' biggest problem, I think, is he's afraid to go to the foul line. Because now he's not attacking the goal like he used to. I don't know when he something has him mentally out of it.
I'll tell you this: Draymond Green, Ben Simmons, and Russell Westbrook have shot enough bricks that they have more than enough bricks to build a brick house.
Says Alex Caruso, he's a good player. He isn't a shooter. Every player don't have to be a shooter. Look at the Warriors. They won the championship. Every player on that team isn't a good shooter.
Every player isn't, and you're going to have some players on the team that isn't a good shooter. But when we're talking about a guy by the name of Ben Simmons, a guy who came in as one of the top draft picks in the NBA, a guy who was supposed to be the superstar, and
he was never known
before he got traded
as a shooter before he got to the NBA.
Yeah,
his game was defense and being a playmaker. His game was never shooting.
He's dealt with enough injuries. He's made a number of excuses, convenient excuses, for not to play. And I think that's why people get on his case.
But
Kawhi
was out for 2 years.
And that's why I have criticized him. He has come under scrutiny. He has come under criticism because he does not want to play. It's always an excuse with him. Oh, my back. My back is hurting. I can't play tonight. Oh, I can't play tonight because I'm suffering from this freaking injury. Well, how did you get the injury, Ben Simmons? Or is it just that you're lazy and you're so damn soft that you don't play a game? Play a freaking game and show us that you can be. If you can't shoot, fine. Be a playmaker.
Hey, hold on real quick. Breaking news. The Astros just pitched a no-hitter. It's a combined no-hitter.
Wow. And,
first one since like 1950-something. So it's a...
Oh, wow. I'm telling you, man. They're, you know,
World Series tied 2-2. Game 5 tomorrow. So
Astros and
Verlander versus Wheeler. Should be another good game. This World Series has been fun to watch.
The Astros and the Phillies have added a lot of pages in the MLB history books in this series. It's been some history that has been made.
Well, you had the Astros win 7-0, the Phillies win 7-0 after hitting 5 home runs yesterday, and then the Astros come back today and win 5-0 and pitch a combined no-hitter. So it's been a fun World Series, and I'll be watching tomorrow night again.
And it's been something about 5-0. It's just something about 5-0. But it's a good series. The Astros wanted to take this back to Houston, and they will do just that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be. I think the rest of the series is going to be fun to watch.
Well, it's been fun from the start, really.
Yeah,
it's been very exciting.
No, yeah, that's been real exciting. I mean, you had the 5 home runs yesterday. They scored. The Phillies scored 7 runs yesterday, without ever having a runner in scoring position. I mean, that's just crazy if you think about that. Then, but I mean, it was because of 5 home runs.
5 home runs, right? Yep.
And they pitched real well, shut them out. Then tonight, it was the opposite. The Astros, but they didn't hit home runs. They strung together about 4 or 5 hits during that 5th inning. Took control of the game.
Yep.
And then Javier he just pitched a gem all night, and then the relievers came in and closed it out to finish no hitter. So tomorrow's going to be interesting, especially being Verlander and could be Verlander and Wheeler tomorrow.
And then on Tuesday night, don't forget you had Ranger Suarez, man.
He pitched a good game.
He pitched 5 scoreless innings. And what amazes me with him is that the guy is super chill. He's calm. He was out there smiling. You know, he can handle the big moment. It's amazing to see that the pressure was ramped up and he was just treating it as if it was another game. You know, amazing stuff. And what I like about the Phillies, though, is their tactic. And that's, you know, taking one game at a time, that their approach.
Well,
I like that. They take one game at a time. You know, they don't think too far ahead. And, you know, they're opportunistic, man. They find the right time to get going. They never quit. Like tomorrow, they might end up winning the game because that's how this series has how it has been going, you know?
Well, in my opinion, I picked the Phillies in six, but in my opinion, Phillies have to win tomorrow because they're not going to win two in a row in Houston.
Oh, yeah. If they don't win tomorrow,
they have to win. I think the Phillies have to win tomorrow for them to have a legit chance of winning this series, because I don't see them winning two in a row in Houston.
It's a must win.
Well, and just like I thought tonight, just like tonight was a must win for Houston, because you didn't want to go down 3-1 and still have one more game in Philly. You might not even make it back to Houston. So now it kind of switches, where I think now tomorrow is a little bit more important of a win for the Phillies, because you want that 3-2 lead going back to Houston, where you have to win one out of two games, not have to try to win both of them.
Yeah. And now Noah Syndergaard is tasked with having to pitch, an incredible outing to try to come to the rescue for his Phillies team. If not, Rob Thompson is going to have to go back to his well-rested bullpen. Alvarado pitched tonight. Bellotti was used again, if I said his name correctly. He was used last night. He had a lot of rested arms tonight because they didn't really have to use many arms out of their bullpen last night because how well the way he pitched, Ranger Danger.
It was a combination of the way Suarez pitched and the five home runs getting that 7-0 lead.
Right.
So having that 7-0 lead, he didn't have to use his top relievers last night. So that helped the Phillies.
He didn't have to use his.
I don't know if the Phillies start Syndergaard. I can see the Phillies coming back with Wheeler tomorrow against Verlander.
Yeah, Wheeler hasn't pitched all that well himself though in this series either.
He only pitched one game.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't pitch too
well. He pitched good in the playoffs.
He looked pretty shaky and erratic. But I will say this about Wheeler, though. When that fastball is on, and when he's, working the inside part of the plate, he is nearly impossible to hit.
No, and he's had a good playoffs. He struggled some the first game of the World Series, but hey, that don't mean he's going to struggle his next outing in the World Series either.
So I'm anxious to see which version of Zach Wheeler the Phillies will get.
Struggled in the first game, and he was pitching good tonight until that fifth inning, and then he gave up them three hits in a row.
Let me ask you this: do you think Rob Thompson waited too late to remove him from the game, or should he have left him in?
I think when he removed him, he had to then, because he gave up the three hits in a row. But I mean, it's easy to say now because you see what happened. But the way Noah was pitching, he gave up the three singles. I'd have probably gave him one more. I'd have took him out then. I don't think he took him out really too late, because you could bring in a reliever with two guys on, and the same thing could have happened. It was just it just didn't work out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, and Noah was pitching a pretty good. He was looking a lot better than what he did the first time. So that's what I'm saying. Wheeler could come out and pitch a gem.
Yeah. And then people too forget that the Astros are a team that, can get hot at any moment in the game, and they can pile up hits really, really quick. And that's what they did.
Well, the Phillies have shown that they can do that too, because they can pile up some home runs and be right in. So, I mean, both teams have shown they can score runs on each other. It's going to come down to who shows up in some of these big moments the next few games.
Both teams.
That's another reason I think they pitch Wheeler tomorrow, because it would be at home, and he's been real good at home this season. Postseason has allowed a run, so that's why I think it's going to be Wheeler and Verlander. I'd be surprised if they go with Syndergaard. I mean, why save one of your top bullets not at this stage of the game. You got to fire your bullets and go all in to win a game, because it'd be a big win if you can get a win tomorrow and go back to Houston just having to split to win a World Series. So to me, you send out the best pitcher you have available, and that'd be to me, Wheeler. We'll see what they decide to do, but I don't see no point of saving them for game six. That just don't make a whole lot of sense. Can't hear you. You're muted.
Pretty damn good. I think the Phillies win tomorrow. I think they come back. And that's been their thing all postseason, right? Is to find a way to get a win. And they have had a great responses each time. So I think they will respond tomorrow. They know that now tomorrow is a must win for them. Or their backs will be against the wall. And now the pressure has shifted. The pressure is on the Phillies now to get the win, you know, but the Phillies, man, I mean, they have overachieved. They're not really supposed to be here. So if they do lose, yes, it will be heartbreaking. But in the end, it would feel just right, right? If that makes sense, because
well, I wouldn't say nobody thought they'd be here, because at the beginning of the season, people thought the Phillies would be a good team, but then they didn't get off to a good start with Girardi.
Right.
But then, that's what makes it where,
right.
Don't get me wrong, because they had a hell of a turnaround. So you're right. Nobody expected them to get to this point because of the way their season went.
Right.
If you looked at the preseason, people thought the Phillies had a chance to be a good team with the acquisitions that they had made. They just, it just took them a while to put it all together. And then they got hot at the right time and went on a great run. And, we'll see if they can keep it going.
Did you see Bryce Harper last night, man? And that home run, he sent that crowd into a frenzy.
So now, because now it just comes down to a three-game series. Who can win two out of the next three games? So,
right.
I mean, it's gonna be fun. This was also the second no-hitter in World Series history and the first that was a combined no-hitter.
Wow.
So, it's been a fun series.
Yeah, it has. I mean, there is so much happening at once.
Your Lakers are winning at halftime.
Yeah, they are.
That's that don't happen very often anymore.
Right? No, it doesn't. But anyway, before we move on, I mean, the Phillies, man, and their magical run, it has been intoxicating. Like, I mean, did you see the fans last night? I mean, the fans were quiet tonight because.
There wasn't much to cheer about tonight.
But did you see the crowd last night? There was video clips of fans throwing beer on each other, fans high-fiving each other, giving each other a hug, jumping up and down the stands, swinging the red towels. It was hyped up in that building last night. That place was wild, man, and it was deafening. It was loud out there. It's crazy in South Philly right now. This Phillies team has you know, really brought a lot of joy to the city. And this is something that their fans have been waiting for a very long time, for the World Series to finally come back to Philly.
Oh, yeah. And it's been a while. So it's going to be interesting. I'm ready for the rest of the games. Like I said, we get game tomorrow, then there'll be a day off, and then have games this weekend. You said you had the Lakers game on.
I do, but I haven't really paid much attention, obviously. They've been, like I said,
they're up at halftime over the Pelicans. They haven't got off to a good start to the season, but there's been some teams struggling. The Warriors are struggling on the road. They haven't been able to hardly win on the road. Lakers, but the Warriors have a good. I mean, we know what kind of team the Warriors have, and it's a long season. You're not going to win every game, but right. The Lakers, man,
possible.
Lakers don't even look like a playoff team to me.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be interesting to see if they make any moves and what they'll be able, what kind of moves they'll make can make. But just getting rid of Westbrook, I don't think that's magically going to save their problem.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. And you know, Laker fans, they need to stop with. They need to stop. You know, you know what? This fan base, man, they're too delusional for me. I just don't understand it. I mean, I know you want to win. I know you are a bunch of spoiled fans that expect your team to win every year. But at some point, you got to face reality and realize that your team is not going to be good every year, and there's going to be some down years. And this is looking like it's going to be another down year for the Lakers. Face reality, understand that. The sooner, the better. Once you start to understand that, the better off you will be.
Has there been a team in the NBA that's has surprised you so far?
I think the Pelicans have surprised me. To be honest with you,
they haven't surprised me just because I thought they were going to be a top four or five team.
You really thought that coming into the season?
Yeah, yeah. Long Zion was a healthy Zion. I said there are a few of these shows that.
Or what about the Utah Jazz? They've been somewhat of a surprise.
Yeah, they played pretty. I'll tell you what, and the New York Knicks got off to a pretty good start. They've looked pretty good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Utah Jazz. They've surprised me. They have a lot of young players over there. They have good,
damn it, Dustin,
quality bench players. Oh yeah, Freddie. Man, he still believes in the Lakers. He said there's plenty of season left, but I don't know. I don't think they could recover.
I saw something over, I think it was the day before yesterday. You're not a Rams fan no more?
No. Well, no,
I am. The Raiders? The Raiders ain't good. They're better than the Rams.
Well, I was really joking. I just wanted to see a reaction, really. You know, people ran with it, so it is what it is. No, but you know what? I'm going to support the Rams. I'm going to support the Raiders, too. Because, look, I'm considering moving to Vegas in the future. Not so much right now, but I'm hearing that the Oakland A's are going to end up going there too. So I'm going to leave. I'm going to most likely leave California and make my home in Vegas. So I'm going to have to somewhat be a fan to those teams because I plan on also working in that market as a sports podcaster and a writer. So that's why I made that comment. Of course, people, you know, people see it differently, as always. What can I do, right?
Hey, both those teams are struggling. Were you surprised that the Rams really didn't make no moves at the trade deadline? But really, I don't think cap wise, and they don't really have no picks that they could use in trades.
They don't really have. I think it's
hard for them to make big moves. Cap
wise, they don't really have.
I thought Kareem Hunt would end up there. I really did. I was surprised.
Yeah, but they mortgaged their future enough, you know, and they gave up a lot of assets and gave up a lot of picks, you know, for a few years now, just to go all in like they did last year. And of course, the bet paid off, right? It worked in their favor because they were able to win a Super Bowl title. You know, their championship window was wide open. They took advantage of it. This year, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to repeat in the NFL. It's hard to win back-to-back Super Bowl titles. And this year, I mean, I don't know if they're suffering through a massive hangover. I don't know if it's the offensive line that continues to give Matthew Stafford and that offense problems. But there's definitely some offensive woes on this team, and and this team is definitely different from the one we saw last year. So no, I don't think they're gonna run it back this year. I think it'll be a different team coming out of the NFC this year. It's gonna most likely be the Eagles.
Yeah, they're gonna have to get their offensive line something figured out there and get some kind of a running game going if they're gonna have any chance to do anything.
That's the thing.
We'll see what happens there. Hell, the Colts traded Nyheim Hines for another running back, like a 6th-round pick. But I know why they've done it, because of the money. They're paying Hines a lot more money than what they'll have to pay Moss, and then they'll probably move on from Moss because we have a rookie running back that has played well this season when Taylor was out. So I don't think they'll end up keeping Moss in the long run. Hell, the Colts fired their offensive coordinator, which that's a joke, like I said yesterday, because – He don't call the plays. Our head coach calls the plays.
He's just a fall guy in all of it. Someone has to take the blame, and he does, unfortunately. And Frank Wright is trying to do everything he can to save his job. But at the end of the day, regardless, he's still gonna be shown the door by the
unless the Colts magically magically go on a run and make the playoffs. I think Frank Wright's gone.
I don't see them. I don't see them mustering up any magic to,
we can get our offense figured out. We'd be all right. Our defense, a good defense.
Can he utilize Jonathan Taylor properly is the question.
Well, they got to get him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We get our offense right. That means start running the damn ball.
Yeah, let him touch the ball more. And let
get
him
our offense right. We have a good defense. I mean, we could, but we got to score points. We can't score 20 points a game. If you can't score 20 points a game, you're not going to win a lot of games.
You want to go through the damn air all the damn time. Run the ball. Run the ball. Establish an effective run game and run the ball. I don't see what
that's the problem when you have to play. I will say this, though. Sam Ellinger didn't look bad for his first game in the NFL.
He looked very good.
I thought he played a pretty good game for his first game in the NFL.
He looked poised.
He made some good throws. He made a good throw at the end of the game that could have maybe got us in field goal range at the end, and Pittman dropped it. That was a perfect throw.
Of his throws were on the money and, perfectly placed in the hands of receivers.
And I'm not saying he's going to be the guy. We haven't seen enough to know if he's the guy yet or not. But
Right. It's a small
sample. But he had a pretty good first outing as your first time playing an NFL game. I mean, he played some big college games being with Texas, but still, it's not the same as an NFL game.
Yep, I agree. I completely agree with you. Yeah, that's encouraging if you're a Colts fan. Hopefully he can keep that up and hopefully that wasn't a one-hit wonder type of performance.
It's going to be interesting to see how he does this week against a Bill Belichick defense. So it'll be interesting.
We'll learn a little bit more as time goes.
I'll get to watch like the first half, and then I'll have to listen to the rest of it on the radio because I have a wrestling show on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're going to Indianapolis for a pro wrestling show. We'll be streaming it live. It's a veteran show. It's a benefit. All the money that's raised from the show goes to this foundation to help veterans.
Oh, very cool. That's
so we're going to go there. We was part of that event last year, and they invited us back again.
That's a cool gesture. We really, really need to help out our
veterans. Actually had the two guys that were behind it, behind that wrestling organization that's doing it. I actually had them on my show earlier today, talked about the show and stuff. With the card they have, it should be a real good show.
That's awesome. Wonderful stuff.
Before we get out of here, any final thoughts?
Man, I'm a little sleepy tonight. I don't know what it is. When I first started the show, I was kind of dozing off and, I wasn't even spitting out my words properly.
I took a nap earlier. I got up at 7 o'clock this morning, took my son to work, came back, done the afternoon show, or not afternoon show. See, I'm already fucking up. Done the baseball show with Dustin. And then we didn't do an afternoon show because nobody got on. And I done the easy money at 3 o'clock, and then I had at 7:30 I had that interview, and in between there I took me a little about hour and a half nap.
Nice. Yeah, man, I was going blank on my words and couldn't complete them correctly, couldn't complete sentences to start the show. But hey, I recovered. I got through the show. It wasn't easy. It was rough. But hey, I managed. And we had another good show, my friend. It was awesome. Once again, great stuff, my buddy. Great stuff, man.
He said baseball put you to sleep. It's a great tranquilizer. Laughing.
Oh, man. But then I turned on the Laker game, and I'm feeling a little bit positive about that. So I'm going to continue to watch the Laker game. And Gonzo, guess where I'm at? I'm upstairs now. I'm not downstairs anymore.
I got the I'm watching Memphis and Portland right now.
They're on ESPN, right?
Yeah. Memphis is up 78-67, about a minute left in the third quarter.
The Lakers are on Spectrum, LA Sports. Yeah. LA Sports Net.
I might turn it over there. I don't know what I'm gonna watch yet. But before we get out of here, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube at Gonzo Sports Room, at the Sports Judge, and at All Sports All Plays Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room and at the All Sports All Plays Network. Also, check out my sports betting show, Easy Money, a sports betting show. Live Monday through Friday at 3:00. My picks yesterday were 8-1. My dad's gave out a couple parlays this week that have hit as well. So come join us for that. You can find it live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room and at the All Sports All Plays Network. Check out the All Sports All Plays Network. They got a great morning show. Starts at 10 a.m. Then 10 a.m. to about 12. And then we got the afternoon show at 1 p.m., so the show's all day long. But we appreciate everybody watching. Judge, you have anything else?
Have a good night, everyone. Stay safe. Have a wonderful night. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Make sure you drink a tall glass of milk to help put yourself to sleep. And don't cuddle with any teddy bear. It's overrated. And you're too old for that. Have a good night, everyone.
We'll be back Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll give out our picks for all the NFL games. We'll be talking some World Series after tomorrow night's game. So come join us Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. But everybody, have a great night. Stay safe. We'll see you guys Friday.
All sports, all plays. Yeah. All sports, all plays. All sports, all plays. 365, we're making a place. We're talking the game, get you through the days. We're high in the court, the diamond in the lane. Variety, topics, living the same. All presentations, sports information. In the airways, taking the nation. All sport, all plays, they work in your faces. Grace at the field, so tie the laces. All sports, all plays.